Standing with me, if you will, and grab your Bibles and go to the book of John. John chapter number 12 this morning. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter number 12. We begin reading in verse number 24. We'll read through verse number 27 responsively. I'll read verse number 24 and then you'll join me on verse 25. We'll alternate like that all the way through verse number 27. John chapter number 12 this morning, beginning in verse number 24. The Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and we thank you for a place that we can come. Lord, there's a lot of excitement in this country on a day like today for a sports venue where thousands will gather in person and millions will watch. Lord, I'm thankful for a place where we can come and be excited about what you're doing in our lives. Well, there's a group of people that are excited about God's word and the effect it has on their life and then it will. Holy Spirit, now we'll ask that that your presence would be experienced here this morning as the word of God is being preached. We'll yield ourselves to you as best as we can. As the preacher preaches, may our mind be focused on the truth. May our heart be tender, or may we be willing not just to hear, but to do the truth that will be preached this morning. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen, and you may be seated.
Here, and I appreciate Brother Chris Droyard. May I say something? This is one of the finest young pastors in America. What was that? Must have been Brother Scott. oh, my soul. This is a young man that took over a situation that was not easy to step into. My dear friend, Pastor Rick Walter, pastored there at Victory Baptist. How long was Brother Rick there? About
15 years.
15 years, I figured so. His father-in-law actually had pastored the church before him, and I knew him as well. But Brother Rick contracted cancer, and within about 4 or 5 months went to heaven. I mean, it was just whoosh. Brother Chris grew up in the church, became an assistant pastor to Brother Walter, and as Brother Rick got sicker and sicker, he and I would converse regularly, and he'd say, "Brother Bush," he said, "Brother Chris is the man." He said, "I know I'm going to heaven." He said, "I know he's the man, and I hate just dropping it on him like this." I said, "It's okay. You've trained him. It'll be all right." As things got worse, by the way, when I picked this tie out for my suit this morning, this is one that, Brother Chris, you recognize it. I was sitting at the table after Brother Rick went to heaven, and Jenny said, "Would you want one of my husband's ties?" I said, "I sure would. I'm wearing one today." He was my dear friend. But Brother Rick called me and he said, "Brother Craig," he said, "do me a favor, don't come up to my funeral." He said, "I'd love to have you speak at my funeral, but I don't need you to do that. There's other people to do that." He said, "After they bury me, I need you to come up and help my church. Would you come up and spend a week and help my church?" I said, "Brother Rick, I'll do anything you want." I said, "Be honest with you, I don't want to, but it will." I said, "My heart's going to be hurting." He said, "Don't let it hurt for me. I'm going to be having fun." And I said, "All right." I went up, and Brother Chris is a young man. He was early 30s. They had a good church, but they were kind of stuck in a building program, and they've been stuck in a building program for a while, and just a lot of things going on. And I began to talk with him and met with many of the men there and said, "Look, they were getting ready to vote him in as pastor because they just knew him. They were ready." I said, "Hold off. Let's wait 90 days. Vote him in as the interim pastor. Wait 90 days and then make your decision. Let things settle. Give everybody time to get through the hurt of losing their pastor. Don't get in a hurry. You got a good leader. Let him lead you through it. And if in 90 days you still want him, vote him in. I'm for it. But just wait. And some of the men really didn't understand that. And I'm not even sure anybody there but me understood that. But it's okay. Thank God they listened. And they got the right man.
Amen.
They really did. This is a fine young man. He regularly seeks good advice. But most of the time, he'll call me and say, "What do you think?" I'll tell him, he said, "That's kind of where I was headed." I said, "Trust your instincts. You got good instincts." He said, "Yeah, but sometimes I just need to make sure." I said, "That's fine." Then he gives me that line. "I'm sure glad I've got an older preacher to lean on." You don't know how many times I just put a zipper in my back so it doesn't hurt as bad anymore. You sticking that knife in there. And yeah, it's not quite as hurtful. But no, I'm very proud of him. They have completed their building. They have a building that is exactly the same size as this building, but it's two stories. They have a full basement in theirs and this one, and it's beautiful. I'm excited for them. They have a growing church. They're a bunch of crazy maniacs is what they are, but they're good people. They're soul winners. They believe like we believe. They preach like we preach. They're the right kind of people. You say, why? Because they got a good leader. And this is a fine young man. I mean that. And I am so very proud of him. I haven't done much, but I'm glad I've had just a little part in it. May I say something? Grace Baptist Church, I bring the right kind of people here because these are my friends. You're getting to see who influences me. And these are my friends. This is a man that I put on the level of a Dr. Jeff Fugit. He's the same kind of man. And Brother Chris is a younger man, but I think every once in a while that doesn't hurt anything. And he's very capable. I want you to hear him with joy and listen very carefully to my dear friend, Pastor Chris Doulard.
Alrighty, I appreciate that, and I do love your pastor, and I'll just say I am nothing special. I'm just dumb enough to do what I'm told. And that's all it was when Pastor Bush came to help us. And of course I knew of Pastor Bush, but I did not know him very well at that time. I knew he was a good friend of Pastor Walter. Pastor Walter would tell a story when he was working security at Hazelton College. Brother Bush was always the first assistant pastor on the church property. He'd get there early in the morning, like you all know he does. And Pastor Walter would go up to his office with his empty coffee cup and drink some coffee and talk to Brother Bush and discuss the important things in life and also tell some hunting stories and different things like that. But he loved Pastor Bush. And so when Pastor Bush came, I don't know, up in Maine we have trust issues, okay? Especially you people down below the Mason-Dixon line. But Pastor Bush came, and he was so helpful and caring and loving. And he got my phone number, and he would text me every day telling me that he loved me, he's praying for me. And I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. He'll be gone in just a few weeks or a few months. And after about 6 months to a year, he finally earned that trust. And I love Pastor Bush, but it's true, he came the week after Pastor Walter went to heaven, and he helped me a lot. Just simple things I never thought, because we're kind of deer in the headlights. Before Pastor Walter died, one of the last things he did was fire our church builder, who was also a church member. The church lost $60,000. We had material that had been sitting outside for 18 months. The floor of the basement was rotted out. We had to pretty much start from behind ground zero. And Brother Bush came in and says, one thing that you can do to lighten the mood and to help your people is to brighten the lighting in here. And he went and he helped me get LED light bulbs and brighten, and just the little things that people who don't, you know, who are deer in the headlights don't really think about. And he really helped us big time. And he pushed me forward. You got to build. Because you know what I want to do? I wanted to bury it. I just wanted to bury it, burn it down, and be done with the building project. But we had to figure out a way. We'd done something. But he helped me through it, and I thank God for him. He's been up to our church three times. Twice he paid his own expense to come up there. One, after Pastor Walter went to heaven. The second time was when we had our grand opening in our building. He came up there, and then another time he's come up to preach for us. Absolutely did a phenomenal job helping our people, and then we also got to take him hunting. And he's one of the only men I've ever seen that shot two ruffed grouse with one shot on the side of the road. He got them both with one shot. That's incredible. And he also shot a rabbit and that was chasing an ermine was chasing it down the middle of the road, and he jumped out and he whistled at it, and it stopped and looked at him. So if Brother Bush ever whistles at you, just keep running. You do not want to stop. And praise the Lord. But they're just such a blessing, and there's other stories I could tell, but we'll get to I did notice though, congratulations Brother Barnes for getting your CDL. That's I saw where he studied in Mrs. Barnes' office, that little table with the blocks there. And so praise the Lord for that. And amen. John chapter 12, though, we'll read some scripture again, and starting in verse 24. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour." And that's what I want to preach on this morning. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd help me, fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you for these people. I thank you for the love that they have for each other. I thank you, Lord, for their pastor and their assistant pastor, for their Sunday school teachers and the junior church teachers and the nursery workers and the ushers and everyone that works together to make Grace Baptist Church work, Lord. I thank you for how welcoming they are, and I pray, Lord, that you'd fill me with your Spirit so I could be help to them. I thank you for the folks that drove down from Maine, Lord. I love them, and I'm so thankful for them that they would make this trip and spend the weekend here with these people. I just pray that you bless us now. In Jesus' name, amen. So here in John chapter 12, if you were to read the surrounding chapters and different things, you're going to find out that Jesus had just healed Lazarus. And he was having supper at Lazarus' house. And Martha was serving and slaving away. And Mary took a precious ointment, and she anointed the feet of the Savior. And many Jews, the Bible teaches us in this chapter, believed on Jesus Christ because of the miracle that he did when he raised Lazarus again from the dead. So naturally, the enemies of Jesus Christ, the chief priests and the Pharisees, they're trying to kill Jesus Christ. And whenever you do something great for God, you're going to attract enemies. Yes. And whenever you do something that's going to grab people's attention, the devil is going to put a target on your back. Yes. And so Jesus, after he's done there, he rides into Jerusalem on a young donkey that had never been rode before. And the people throng the streets with palm leaves and praise as Jesus enters into Jerusalem. It is becoming the time for the Passover, where he's going to have the Last Supper with his followers, and he's going to be betrayed by Judas Iscariot and led away to be crucified. The Passover feast was about to happen, and Jesus was about to be lifted up on a cross, and he was going to draw all men unto him. And these words that we read are some of our Savior's last words in his public ministry before his death. He starts out with a saying that he used a lot in Scripture. Maybe you've noticed as you read the Bible and read the New Testament, where he says, "Verily, verily, 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 I say unto you." Jesus used "verily, verily" a lot. It implied firsthand original knowledge to the one who was speaking. So Jesus Christ was about to share a truth that no other preacher or prophet had ever shared before. It was unique and it was original to the Savior. And of course, we have a lot of those sayings in the Bible. And Jesus Christ, the Word of God, He has the authority to say, verily, verily. He's verily, verily, I want to say something to you. I want to teach you something that you've never heard before. You've heard that it has been said to hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy. You've heard that you should not commit murder. But I say unto you that if you hate your brother in your heart, you've committed murder already. And verily, verily, I say unto you, you've heard that you should not commit adultery. I think we learned about that in Sunday school this morning. But I say unto you that if you look on someone with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery already in your heart. These are truths that Jesus Christ taught us that originated from Him. Yes. Now, be very careful when you hear doctrines or teachings that are unique or original to a man. I remember the first time I was knocking on doors and I met a man, not the first time I was knocking on doors, but first time I was out there while knocking on doors, meeting a man who came out and says, you don't even believe your own Bible. And I said, well, why do you say that? He says, because do you believe the earth is round? I was like, oh, you mean like a sphere? He's like, yeah, do you believe the earth is a sphere? I said, absolutely. You don't even believe your Bible. The Bible clearly teaches the earth is flat. And so we talked for a little bit, and I was like, all right, crazy. I let him talk to my partner, because, you know, that's what you do when you divert. And so anyways, we ended up leaving there, and I was like, man alive, this guy is nuts. But that's what they, be very careful when someone comes to you with a truth you've never heard from the Bible before.
Yes.
Oh, did you ever, now it's the Nephilim, or the Book of Enoch, and all those different things. Just stay away from that garbage.
Yeah.
If it's not in the Bible, stay away from it. So Jesus is saying here, verily, verily, I have something to tell you that you have never heard before. He said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Jesus Christ says, I want to teach you something. I want to teach you something you've never heard before, how I am going to bring glory to God and how I'm going to bring forth much fruit. I am going to have to die.
Yes.
And look at John chapter 12, verse 27. He says, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Jesus knew that to glorify his Father, he was going to have to die. And when he died, he was going to bring forth much fruit. That was the Father's will for his life. And though it wasn't going to be fun or wasn't going to be pleasant, and Jesus would have rather been delivered from that hour, he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. His hour of trouble was come, and Jesus would have been rather delivered from his hour. But for this cause of bringing him through this hour is why he was there. You know, we're going to have hours in our life. We're going to have times and seasons in our life where we're not going to enjoy going through. I think about just having a newborn baby with breathing issues. No parent ever wants to see their child suffer. We have our second, Jesselyn. She was born 4.5 weeks early. She had to spend 18 days in the NICU. And my wife had to stay in the house next door to the hospital. And she had to go over every time the nurses called to try to feed or different things like that. But no one wants to go through those experiences. No one wants to lose a pastor.
Yes.
No one wants to lose a lot of money on a building project. No one wants to lose a grandmother, or you've had a lot of death in this church with people going on being with the Lord. 5 funerals so far this year. No one likes to go through that. But if you realize, if you open your eyes and look around, every time you go through this type of hour, God uses it to bring forth fruit.
Yes.
In our life. God uses it to increase His kingdom. God has a purpose for your life, and He has a purpose for my life, and that is to glorify His name by bringing forth much fruit. In John chapter 15 and verse 8, the Bible says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Jesus said in John chapter 15, if you want to glorify my Father which is in heaven, you need to bring forth much fruit. But Jesus also said in John chapter 15, without me, you can do nothing.
Right.
So he has a plan for our life. He has a purpose for our life. He's going to lead us through trials and tribulations and heartaches and heartbreaks. But the purpose is that he can be glorified through our lives when we go through those trials and tribulations. Many may think that bearing much fruit is only talking about, well, how many people did I bring to church, or how many people got saved? But that's not necessarily what the Bible is talking about. We each have a part to play in God's plan. The Bible tells us that some plant, some water, but it's God that gives the increase. And you don't realize who you're influencing just by staying faithful to the Lord and faithful to His church when you're going through a hard time. You don't realize you are influencing the future of Christianity in this church, in this state, in this country. I am thankful that when I was a 7-year-old boy, an 8-year-old boy, and a 10-year-old boy, and a 12-year-old boy growing up in a Victory Baptist church, I had folks like Brother Bill and Marcy Cushman there that led by example that I looked to. Because, you know, it's great to have Christian parents. My dad didn't get saved until he was 43 years old. He was a chief petty officer in the Navy, and he cussed like a sailor. I know what that means. And I heard it with my own ears. And my mom was saved in the Nazarene church, but got away from the Lord. And they finally got back to going to church, and they were faithful. And it was great to have a mom and dad that was faithful to church. But it meant a lot to me to have people in Victory Baptist Church that I watched through the years stay faithful through trials and tribulations.
Yes.
Like Brother Bill and Marcia, they couldn't have babies for a long time. They weren't able to, but you know what they did? They took the church teenagers home with them on Sunday afternoon. I mean, that's crazy right there. I remember getting in trouble because one time we had a teen meeting, a youth meeting on top of his car. And he was like, what are you doing? And I've had stories there. Or like a Brother Gary and Mrs. Dorcas Stevens, who's been so faithful to ministering to the deaf in our church and be faithful to soul winning no matter what they've gone through. They had a young boy, Jesse, their second oldest. He was born deaf, and they had to spend a lot of money, and he had to get one of those ears put in. And I'm not even going to try to say it because I already have a speech impediment and I'm not too bright. But okay, I'm going to try it. What was it called again? Yeah, that's the word for it. And but they had to get one of those ears in, and they had to raise a child that couldn't hear. I remember Jesse running around with a little backpack on that he had connected to his hearing aid element there when he was just a little tyke. But now he's in Bible college. He wants to reach the deaf for Jesus Christ. But thank God that there was a couple there that's just stayed faithful to the Lord through a trial and tribulation. Brother Myron and Miss Bernice, of course, where did they go anyway? Oh, there they are. I couldn't see you. He's actually sitting behind someone who's man size. And he's fun size. But anyways, but Brother Myron, 40 plus years being faithful servants at Victory Baptist Church. 40 plus years of my dad getting us up early to go to church, to take a bus into Augusta to bring other kids. Brother Myron being there to run that bus and drive that bus every morning. Faithful men who took time off work to drive us kids to youth conference and pastor school and influence our lives. And they might not look back and say, oh, look at all the fruit I can say that came to Jesus Christ because of me. But they don't realize the impact they had on eternity just by being faithful and showing up and having a good attitude and supporting the preacher and being involved in the church. You might not think what you do around here is a big deal, but it's a big deal.
Yes.
It's a big deal because those kids are watching and the teenagers are watching. They watch how you interact at church. You know how you get a church that has a bunch of cliques in it? And I think you don't have that here because you have a bunch of parents who are cliquey. And then the teenagers learn, well, we don't talk to that family, and we don't sit by this person, and we don't do this, and we don't do that. If this person's, that's not healthy for a church because we're supposed to be in one accord. We're supposed to be in one mind for the Lord. So what we have to realize is what you do at church is a big deal.
Yes.
It's a big deal, and you don't realize how much fruit you're going to produce because that's really up to God in the first place.
Yes.
It's not up to you. You just be faithful in what you're doing. We each have a part to play in God's plan. And God is glorified when we will bear fruit in our lives by yielding to His will through the difficult times. Jesus Christ, He had quite the ministry. And people hated Him, and lawyers tried to trip Him up. And they were falsely accusing Him, saying that He was casting out devils in the name of the devil. And He had to face His critics. But the hardest hour of His ministry was when we had to yield to the Father's will and go to the cross. That was the part of His ministry that was the hardest, but He had to go through it for God to get glory. Jesus submitted to His part. He cried, Father, not my will, but thine be done. And Jesus was to die a physical death on the cross for our sins. He was planted in the ground like that corn of wheat that died. And for 3 days and three nights, and then he rose again the third day. It was hard. Aren't you glad you don't have to go to a cross? Amen. Aren't you glad you don't have to be stripped naked in public and scourged and mocked and crucified? I'm glad I only have a small part to play in God's kingdom, and it's not that. I just have to be a light. I just have to stand up for the word of God. I just have to be faithful to my church. I just have to tithe. I just have to be a faithful witness. That's all he's asking me to do. He's just saying, I don't want you to live for this world. I want you to live for the next world. And that's what he saved us to do. When Jesus Christ went to the cross, he opened not his mouth. They accused him, and he would not open his mouth. He willingly went to that cross so he could bring glory to his Father. And by yielding to the Father's will for his life, he was able to bring forth much fruit.
Yes.
God gets glory in our lives when the Holy Spirit of God is able to work through us.
Yes.
That's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit. There is, in our flesh, the Bible says, dwelleth no good thing, and our flesh is incapable of bearing fruit that pleases God. It's incapable. So when you come to church and you have a heart to serve and you want to serve God and you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you work around here, you are bringing forth fruit. Now, you might not see it right now. You might not see it next month. You might not even see it for 10 years. But someday, somehow, someone's going to say, you made a difference in my life.
Yes.
It was that time that you went through that trial, that you went through that tribulation, and you thought no one was watching, and you thought you did a terrible job and you were a mess. But I was watching you, and I used that experience to help me.
Yes.
When I went through a hard time. In our flesh, it is impossible to please God. Our job is to yield, to put our fleshly wills and desires down, and live a life like our Savior lived. To have that mind of Christ I talked about last night at the Valentine's banquet, a humble, obedient mind, even unto death. Our obedience will probably not lead to our physical death, though it could. It could, you know, in today's society, a lot of people not going to church today because of COVID. A lot of people staying home because of COVID. And let me tell you this, I had COVID. I thank you for your prayers. This church has prayed Victory Baptist Church through a lot of trials. You guys were there for us when Pastor Walter got cancer. You were there for us through our building project. You were there for us when I was sick in the hospital with COVID. And 17 days, I went 10 days without any sleep. And Brother Bush did call me. And Brother Bush did, I don't know how he did it, but he got his boot through the phone and in a place where it doesn't need to be. And he said, you know, be stubborn, get out of there. And but this church has been a part of that. And our obedience might not lead to physical death, but if it does, to God be the glory. If I die because I got COVID, because I stayed faithful to church, then to God be the glory.
Amen.
And because what we have today is a bunch of soft Christians who aren't willing to die to anything.
That's right.
But it will, yielding to the Holy Spirit, yielding to the will of God in our life, will lead to the death of our flesh ruling over us. Like Paul said, I die daily. It will lead to the death of our will over God's will in our life. And as we continue to move forward in our hour of trouble, we get closer to glorifying God the Father and bringing forth much fruit. Much fruit. You know, I think about when Pastor Walter got sick and I remember we were it was in January that year when he was starting to really complain about his back hurting and his side hurting. And he went to the doctors, he went to the chiropractor, he got adjustments. And man, it still would just hurt. It'd feel better for a little bit, but then it would start hurting again. So then in April, he went back to the doctor and said, oh, you have pleurisy. It's inflammation of the lungs. So they gave him some ibuprofen. And in the middle of June, he just was still hurting and he couldn't understand. Now the ibuprofen wasn't working anymore. So then they finally did a scan. They found out that he had cancer all throughout his body. He had it in his colon, his kidneys, his lungs, his brain. They didn't even know where it originated from. He had so much cancer in his body. And he, of course, was a faithful witness, a faithful soul winner. 46 years old, 6 kids at home, a faithful wife. And I don't know a pastor that loved his people more than Pastor Walter. Pastor Bush is close. And he might even be there. I just haven't got to spend as much time with Pastor Bush as I spent with Pastor Walter. I don't know a dad that loved his kids as much as Pastor Walter loved his kids. Or a husband that loved his wife as much as Pastor Walter loved his wife. But for whatever reason, that was his hour of trouble. And he went through it faithfully.
Yes, he did.
And not too long ago, we had a Marine, ex-Marine, or he's still a Marine come visit the church, big guy. And he just walked in, and we're like, man, where'd this guy come from? And he came in, and he said, yeah, 4 years ago, a man from this church gave me a track. He had his picture on it, and that was Pastor Walter. Pastor Walter's still bringing forth fruit. That man's still a faithful member. He still comes to Victory, faithful member of Victory Baptist Church because of a track Pastor Walter handed out back in 2014 or so. I think of a lady who just went to heaven this past summer in our church. Her name was Miss Cynthia Walker. Pastor Walter led her to the Lord in 2015. And she was one of those ladies that, you know, she was an older lady. She smoked a lot. I was on oxygen, you know, lived a rough life. And she would just come to church when she was healthy enough to come to church. And she would sit there on the front row and just have this big old smile on her face. And Miss Cynthia brought a couple visitors to church and through the years. And you might look at her and say, well, where's her fruit? What can she do for the Lord? She got saved later in life and she's already on oxygen. What good could she do? Well, at her of one funeral service, which wasn't available for the church, they had it just for family, I got to preach, and 9 souls got saved. Yeah. And then we had a church service for her about a month later for the church family, and 4 souls got saved.
Man.
Out of those 13 souls, 9 of them have come to church and got baptized and joined the church. Yeah. But what could Mrs. Cynthia Walker do? But if a corn of wheat shall die and be buried, it will bring forth much fruit. And that wasn't up for her to decide. That was up for God to decide. Your hour of trouble is coming. Your hour of trouble might already be here. Are you going to run? Are you going to quit? Are you going to be like Job's wife and want someone to curse God and die just to get it over with? Or are you going to endure as a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Trials, tribulations, offenses will come. Let me tell you something, church. Health problems are coming.
Yes, sir.
Hardships are coming. Broken hearts are coming. Yes. Crosses that you have to carry are coming. Your soul will be troubled just like our Savior's soul was. And your prayer might be, Father, deliver me from this hour. But I want you to realize this morning, for this cause, you have come to that hour. It's not just about us living a life of comfort or ease. It's about enduring the trial and the tribulation and the hardship so that through our trial, He gets glory.
Yes, sir.
And through our suffering, fruit is produced.
Amen.
What is this cause? To glorify the Father's name by enduring through your time of trouble. And herein is our Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. I don't know what much fruit is for you, or even what much fruit will be for me. All I know that the bearing of that fruit is only attainable by remaining faithful to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Yes.
No matter what happens. Thankfully, for as a Christian, our time of trouble is brief. It's temporal. You realize 1,000 years from now, we're going to be in heaven. It's going to be like the Valentine's banquet all over again. And we're all just going to be crazy and eating and laughing. And Brother Bush is going to be picking on the redhead carrot top over here as an Ashley. And I mean, it's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun in heaven. 1,000 years from now, what you're going through right now is not going to matter. 1,000 years from now, you're already going to know what the reward was for going through what you went through. Our troubled time will pass. God does not just lead us to it, but He leads us through it. But if you're here this morning and you've never been saved, you've never been born again, and if you die in your sin, you will be separated from God for all eternity. And your troubled time will never end. Hell is a place of fire and brimstone, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And man nor religion has a corner on hell. Pastor Bush does not decide who goes to heaven or hell.
That's right.
The Pope does not decide who goes to heaven or hell. The only person that's going to decide whether your soul goes to heaven for all eternity to be with Jesus Christ, or your soul goes to hell for all eternity to be separated from Jesus Christ, is you. And you have to decide, am I going to believe Jesus Christ and put my faith and trust in His gospel, or am I going to believe a man? Because every other way to heaven besides Jesus Christ is a man-made way. Every other way has to go through a church or a denomination or some type of work, but only the way that leads to the Father is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen.
The Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This morning, if you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, I am begging you. You think you're going through a tough time now? This is heaven compared to what you will be going through.
Yes, sir.
Trust in Him. Say, well, I'm not good enough. That's fine. He came to die for sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. I'll tell you what keeps people out of hell, people thinking that they're too good. So you don't think you're good enough? You're in the right place. That's a good place to start.
Yes.
Trust in Jesus Christ and receive Him as your personal Savior today. I don't know who might be saved here, who might not be saved. But I do know this, if the Holy Spirit convicts your heart and you see your need for a Savior, all you have to do is call out on Him and ask Him to save you.
Yes, sir.
The Bible tells us the two stories, and Jesus tells it in the book of Luke, where two people went into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee. He was a religious person. And he went and he prayed thus with himself, God, I thank You. I'm not like everyone else here. Look at all these crazy West Virginians. And Lord, I'm not like this person and that person. And I don't have moonshine in my cup like Pastor Bush over here. He's just saying, I thank You. I'm not like all these other people. But there was another man who went and prayed, and he wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. He just said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, that man went home justified. That's a sinner's prayer in the Bible right there. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm trusting You. That's all you have to do. If you are saved, you are going to have an hour or ten of trouble. You are going to have a time of tribulation, but you just stay faithful. You keep on plowing through. And it won't be fun, and it's not going to last forever. But I can guarantee you, when you get through the other side, you will bring glory to God, and you will bear fruit. God does not lead us through anything that's not going to be fruitful.
That's right.
You might not see the fruit immediately. You might not ever see the fruit until you're in heaven someday. But I guarantee you, it will not be wasted. The worst thing you can do is tuck your tail and run. The worst thing you can do is say, well, I guess the Bible and church and doesn't work for me. Oh no, when you go through an hour of tribulation and temptation, that's when it's just finally starting to work. And you get through it, and you stay faithful, and God will bless. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for being such a good God to us, Lord. I thank You for these people. I thank You for Your word. I thank You for the truth we can get from Your word. And Lord, I thank You for people who love, and a pastor who loves. And Lord, I just pray that You would help us to love You like we ought to, and love our neighbor as we ought to. And Lord, if there's anyone here going through a hard time, going through a trial or tribulation, their hour of trouble, I pray, Lord, that You'd give them the strength and the fortitude to stay faithful through that time of trouble. They might not realize how much You are going to, how much fruit You're going to bear through their life and how much glory You're going to bring to Your name through their trials and their tribulations. Thank You, Lord, for the strength You gave us to get through. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I wonder who would say, preacher, if I died today, I am 100% sure I'd go to heaven. I know that. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You may put your hands down. A crowd this size, there's no way I could see everybody. I'll not embarrass you, just like I did not embarrass them. Say, preacher, if I died today, I don't know that for sure. I'll not come to you. I'll not make a big deal of it. You say, preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure, but someday I'd like to know for sure I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, scores and scores of hands. You may put them down. In a moment, the piano begins to play. When it begins to play, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, if you raised your hand for any of those reasons just a moment ago, maybe the Lord just touched your heart. You need to come to the altar. Maybe you don't know for sure you're saved. If you're a man, we'll have a man take the Bible and show you how you could know. If you're a lady, we'll have a lady take the Bible. If you've been saved and never baptized, we could care for that today. But may I say something? All of us all of us need to decide what the Lord wants us to do.